Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, internet? It is Friday, September 8th, 2017, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio. I'm Austin Walker. I'm live. I'm alive. I'm alive. That's it. That's all I got. That's the end of the end of my intro today. I'm alive. Somehow I survived PAX. If you visited us out at PAX, that was great. It was rad to see so many fans. It was so great to shake hands and talk to you about things. A lot of people talk to me about Destiny, which is a good thing because we're going to talk about Destiny in a moment. But first, welcome to the show, Abby Russell, live.
Hi.
Also in the studio in Lobby 1.
Yes, wow. I'm very excited to be here. A little nervous. I don't feel like I'm articulate enough for your podcast.
You've not listened to our podcast.
Also joining us, you clearly stole Austin's A-game. So.
Oh, fuck. Also joining me, Rob Zachney from Boston.
Hey, what's up?
I don't know. What's up with you?
God, Austin, Jesus, you're like face-planting.
Is that how I'm supposed to respond to this?
Yeah.
I'm just getting all the bad stuff out of the way up front. That way,
okay,
when it's time to dig in. I'm very excited to talk about Destiny. I have thoughts, so I'm just trying to stumble my way through this intro. Patrick Klepek from Chicago.
I actually think I might still be in a Buffalo Wild Wings.
You know what would make this podcast better? Some Bahama Mamas.
Hell yeah. A couple of BMs up in here.
God, you can't call them BMs.
I'm always down for a BM.
We cannot call them BMs.
Dude, I had like 3 BMs in that Buffalo Wild Wings.
Just like out in the open.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know what? Sometimes you just got to feel it. You want to BM with your friends.
It's one of the great crimes of my life that I was inflicted upon me was the discovery that we were going to that Buffalo Wild Wings that I had already spent 6 hours drinking in prior. I don't know what Dan revealed at the Giant Bomb panel in terms of like the setup for all of that. But
well, you see that he got a fucking...
Like, yeah, Jeff texted it to me after they bought it, and then Dan...
They didn't buy it.
They
gave it to him.
They made him a name tag so
okay.
He could be...
All right, we should actually... If there's an audience here who maybe doesn't know this, briefly,
uh-huh.
We spent a lot of time in Buffalo Wild
mm-hmm.
Wings, but not as much as Dan Reichert from Giant Bomb did. He spent enough time there that he asked them for a shirt. He asked them for one of their work shirts.
The next day, the day after.
Oh, my God.
He went
well,
back.
So I went there of my own accord to meet someone for lunch, and then... I'm sitting there and I get a text message out of nowhere that just says, order the honey barbecue wings.
And they were like, very good.
I should have gotten those.
I love that insider knowledge. What? If you go to B-dubs, just gotta order the honey barbecue. It's the pro move.
It was a bad advice for me. I only order buffalo. Like when I get wings, like I'm a strict buffalo originalist, in which I don't disparage others for their other flavors of
sure.
hot wing, but I only eat the buffalo. And so it says
it's got to have a code.
Yeah, I do. And it says this from Dan. I was like, why would he text me that? And it dawns upon me that he is just must be texting me from somewhere in this Buffalo Wild Wings or saw me walk in there. And then I look over the corner and just I am the saddest man in the world. The most hungover Dan Reichert is just eating there, attempting to shovel the buffalo wings into his gullet, I think would actually be more like an accurate description of what he was trying to do. And then he came over to our table and I drank there until our panel, and then you all made the decision that we had to go back there, and so I did.
Mm-hmm. The greatest bit of joy that I had at PAX, I had a lot of joy. We saw the movie when we did a bunch
yes,
of stuff.
Yes, very good
talking about this. But was during the Giant Bomb panel when Dan was telling the story, and the second half of the story is that later that night our group would just go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and at one point we were like, "What if we just texted Dan?" I was like, "Ha ha ha, you should come meet me at Buffalo Wild Wings." And when Dan told that story, he was like, "And then I got this text from Austin who didn't know that I'd been
there."
He had
no idea.
And Jeff Gerson is like,
Did you, you didn't know about that. And I was like, I super knew about it from the crowd. And Jeff just, it was deep laughs. Those deep, real, true laughs at the fact that I totally played Dan Reichert and got him
it was
back
fun.
To a
B-dubs. I couldn't believe he came back, but also I absolutely could believe it.
100%.
Yes.
But that's all behind us now. We don't live in the Buffalo Wild Wings anymore.
No, unfortunately not.
In outer, all the cabal came and destroyed all of the world's Buffalo Wild Wings. They stole our light, which is one of the better flavors.
Speaker was like,
BM.
Gall, order the honey barbecue from the Traveler.
And we've been playing Destiny, so I think that's probably what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. I think we've all been playing it. Who's played the most at this point?
Sounds Rob? Like Rob's at the end of the single player.
How's that going?
It's going really, really well. I've press-ganged my partner into bumping the thumbstick every few minutes to keep me from getting logged out while we record this podcast.
Oh, good.
Because, okay. Yeah, I am like, I'm on a mission that says rescue the Traveler. So I assume that at the end of that mission, I will have rescued the Traveler.
I've heard that game ends strong. Which is exciting
that
because the last one didn't.
Even remember.
Well, if we're talking about year one. It didn't end.
Yeah, we're talking about year one.
It just stopped.
You go to the Black Garden or whatever, and that place is pretty, and it's like, oh, wow, this is really pretty. And then you'd leave, and then someone's like, here's a gun, and then you get a gun. The end.
Right.
And I hope this one's better. So far, in general, all of that stuff has been really fun and good.
Yes. I've been having a very good time.
What classes is everybody playing? This is my current preoccupation with this game, is class selection.
I am a Titan. Which is what I did through all of Destiny 1. But I did make a couple other characters. I made, like, a cowboy hunter and then, like, this cool-ass, like, wizard woman. But I've mostly just been playing as the Titan.
How is that working out? Because that's what I've switched to. I gave up on Hunter and switched to Titan.
Oh, really? I mean, I like it. It's not that much different than it was before. I have, like, a cool little shield. I like the power-up better because before I would, like, just have to stomp guys. It was sort of like this big ground pound.
Oh,
and if
I
missed it, or if like people were out of the way, then it was like, well, I wasted it. Whereas now I can like kind of shoulder bash all these dudes,
right?
All and
right,
it's so much better.
Titan,
mm-hmm.
Patrick, are you still playing as your warlock? What did you wrote a warlock, right?
Yeah, I was a warlock in Destiny 1, and decided to carry that over into 2. I think my current plan is to like I would like to switch up the class just for like variety's sake, and I think I might try the hunter, but I think I'm gonna wait till the PC version comes
That's
out because there's not a world where I can like I'm gonna play through this twice and like invest 40 hours each, so I can like I'm just yeah. I don't have the time for something like that, but like. The warlock, who I'm already familiar with, and now there's some variety and like changes to the classes, like is enough to get me through Destiny 2. And then when the PC version comes out, like I think then I'll maybe
You'll make
have
a
enough
canonical decision about what Space Patrick Klepek is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if Space Patrick Klepek gets carded for seeing an R-rated movie when he's 32 and a dad and has a mortgage, but I'm looking forward to find
what
out.
What did you get carded seeing?
It.
Oh, really?
They wanted to just. They were like, "Yeah, you sure, buddy? You sure you're ready for this bullshit? You ready to be scared?" And then...
and I had to yell across the theater to get my ID from my wife because she was currently using it to get me a beer. So I had to, I would look like this asshole. I'm like, I don't have my ID. Like, my wife has my ID. She's using it to get a beverage. And like, at that point, my story
my
looked
wife,
very scary.
The mother of my child who has a mortgage with me.
That or I looked very sketchy and was like trying to get myself out of the situation. Like, oh no, I'm definitely old enough to go see it. I need to go get my ID from my wife who's getting me a beer.
She lives in Canada. You probably haven't met her. You should get that facial hair back. It made you look older.
I don't know. It's mixed. The reaction to the... I shaved it because I had a sudden fear that I would regret it and I would have all these photos of me and my daughter that will live on for eternity. And I was like, I don't know how... I hadn't made concrete enough decisions about the facial hair to have them enshrined in photos that will like hang in my house for as long as I live.
Awesome.
I'm surprised you got ID. I have bought child tickets to R-rated films a number of times, and no one has batted an eye.
Tickets?
Like it's a ticket. It's like
oh,
the
to
child
get the cheaper
price
tickets?
For just for yourself.
Uh huh. For like an R-rated.
And you just
movie.
Walk in.
Uh huh. And then they're like theater 10.
12-year-old.
Uh huh.
Go right in. Can't wait for you to see
it's
Annabelle
nice.
Origins
yeah.
or whatever. Rob, what about you? What are you playing as?
I am predominantly an Arkstrider hunter.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah,
you get to punch people a lot. Like, that is what that class is. It's just, like, just knock a fool out and then do a dodge and then knock somebody else out.
That's what I'm kind of digging is it's this really kinetic play style where you're kind of pinballing around the around each sort of encounter space, and you got to keep up that rhythm, because if you knock a guy out, you get like a boost to your regeneration, so you're more resilient, so you can sort of sustain the fight longer.
Yeah.
And you can just chain that together kind of endlessly. And if your aim is good and you time it all right,
yeah,
it feels really good when you work an encounter that way.
Depending on what other skills you have, you can like knock somebody out and then do a dodge roll, which recharges your melee attack, and then knock somebody out and then do a dodge roll. And it says that when you, with a certain skill set, it recharges your dodge roll whenever you kill somebody with a punch. So you just like link those together over and over again.
Punching
like rando guys away, which is really cool.
Yeah.
The only thing, I don't know. I'm level 15 in two different classes now, and if I had just committed, I would have beaten this game by now. But I'm thinking of starting a third character instead.
I feel like that's how you play Destiny. Like, that's how I play Destiny 1. I plan to do that for this game. I mean, I'll probably have one character. Like, I'll probably finish it with my Titan and then go back and, like, pick stuff up here and there with the other guys. Yeah. But I feel like that's how you play.
Yeah, maybe it's a good sign. Like, the fact that I'm treating it as, like, oh, this is the way I want to make sure I'm playing the character I want to play, like, the true, whatever the one is for me, like maybe that suggests that I'm already convinced that I want to keep playing this game for quite some time. What's everyone's impression generally at this point after various amounts of hours in it? Like, how's it stack up to the first one?
I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. I think last night I played with people like the second or third night I did it, but I think last night we really played for a while. You, me, and Danica played. And, like, that felt like, oh, cool, it's Destiny again. Like, I'm playing with my friends. And that was nice. I will say it is a little bit frustrating because Danica was the one who had to, like, pick. She was our team leader was the lowest level. But she also is the one with the least amount of experience. So it's very hard to be like, okay, go into the map and then click this thing and then click this thing.
You don't want to feel like an asshole where you're just like, hey, just send me a fucking picture of your screen.
Right.
Hey, just, you know what? Sit still. I'll be right there. I'm going to come over to your apartment and I'm just going to pick this fucking mission for us. And there's no way for you as, like, the other people in the mission to, or in the fire team to, like, pick what mission to go to next.
It'd be
like,
cool if you could suggest or, like, be able to, like, slide over to, like, send either, not necessarily the team voting, although that might be interesting, but, like, if, like, you're next to a public event or whatever, like something that you want to trigger for the team, that maybe even if you can't be the decider on it, you can essentially like send the request over to the fire team leader and then they can decide whether that is then accepted on the part of
or even the team. See what the other person's map is.
Right.
Because there's definitely times when it was like, Janik's like, I don't have that on my map. And me and Abby were like, yes, you definitely fucking do somewhere. And she was right. She didn't have it on the map.
But we just like couldn't figure out where she was supposed to go.
Totally. Or to put a waypoint down on the map somewhere that, oh, hey, this is where we should go.
Yeah, totally.
That would also help quite a lot.
Yeah, I also just wish that you could just select like a later level for a low level character. Like, who cares?
Yeah, totally. I guess you can't, because it says straight up, like, oh, this player can't.
Like, if they haven't gotten there in the story, you can't do it. I get why, but it's just.
Yeah, I think it suggests something about how they see their own game, which is like. So I just made it to. And Rob, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here, but I think I finished the second act of this game. Really broadly, with no real spoilers. Act one is like, oh shit, everything's bad. And like, you have to get to a place where you can try to do anything. And act two is like, oh, I should start to pull these threads together and try to, like, get back on our feet. And then I've gotten back on our feet, and the way I know that is it unlocked strikes and patrols and daily challenges. And, like, it feels like this is when the game actually is beginning.
Well, so here's the weird thing, though. So I hit that point, too. So there's a moment right at the bridge between the second and third act where it's like, go talk to Zavala, Cade, Ikora, and you can unlock the familiar game modes. And so then I started, like, just sort of trying to patrol, but like no patrol events ever dropped.
Oh, really? And wait, the mission? Cade gives you a mission that's like, go set up a patrol route or whatever.
No, Cade tells you that, but then like nothing highlighted on my map.
Okay, this might just be that the problem, Rob, is that the map. So the map is really cool. It's cool to have a map in this game.
Yeah, it is.
But where I'm at now, my map is just filled with shit, and it can be kind of hard to decipher what is worth doing. There is a mission that Cade gives you, Rob, on Earth that you have to go do before the patrols start populating on the planet. And it's just like, in the mess of Earth's map, there's one little green point. If you go there first, you do a mission that then gives you everything else.
Okay, yeah, because I went to the European Dead Zone, and yep. I was like, okay, there should be something, right? And yep. I don't even think there was, like, a green mission marker. All I had were the adventures.
Yeah, there's definitely, or at least for me, there. Who knows, maybe bugged out, or maybe it's not showing up for the right for some reason, but, like, there is a green mark there you go, and, like,
so
oh, yeah,
did you do, like,
happens.
A patrol?
No, I didn't do it, because I was like, okay. Oh, this is a lot, and it's 3 a.m. I'm going to go to bed instead. I should get up and do a stream and a podcast. But it feels like, oh, this is the game. Like, I spent a lot of time in this game already. Even ignore the fact that I restarted a character. I put a lot of time already in just this one character, and it's weird to be like, oh, I'm pretty far into the game, and only now does it feel like this is what Destiny is going to be. This is what the majority of my Destiny time is going to be. It's like clearing out the map. There's a ton of little hidden areas that you can see marked in the map. There's tons of little chests and like public events and side quest adventures, and it's like way more adventures than I thought there would be on my map at this point, which is cool because it means like
adventures are like a specific type of side quest, right?
Sorry, yeah. Do you want to explain that, Patrick?
Well, those are some of the first ones you unlock, right? I'm both.
Yeah.
Like I'm those. I'm adventures are like the first set of side quests that are unlocked as you're going through the game. They're like the little red icons that appear. Yeah. Like basically in the first half of the game, you get access to public events and you get access to a handful of side missions that are like interesting enough, but are mostly kind of there to like get your equipment level up so you can keep going through the story.
They're like a step above what patrols were in the first game, which were just like go kill these 12 enemies or go find this one enemy. Or
yeah, there's actual scripted sort of events that are like the developers went in and handcrafted like set pieces that may take you through some things you've already been to, but feel different enough that you don't feel like it's just to go shoot six guys. Even like ones that are, they're stealing pipes from to this place. Like you gotta shoot some thieves. Like the one like interesting trick there is like, well, there's a specific, you're not just shooting all the enemies. There's a specific enemy type that acts a certain way, like a thief. That you have to shoot in order to collect those. And that's at least like
Ghost does say like that one's definitely moving like a thief. That's what a thief looks like. It's like it's pretty funny.
I laughed. That was that might have been the hardest I laughed in the game because it was a deliberately sort of like meta humor that was like I'm fine with that. Like break the wall in like a weird way. And those missions are like fun for solo. And I haven't unlocked the sort of second half stuff that everyone else has, but I find that stuff to be really encouraging as someone that will probably 75% play solo and then 25% play with others. Like the big question for Destiny 2 for me was, is it going to make that 75% more satisfying than it was pre-Taken King? And so far the answer is yes, and I haven't even unlocked a lot of the other stuff. Like it's still a loot treadmill. It is still not a Halo game, like in the sense of like what people expect from like a Halo campaign scripted single player thing. Like, but that's because Destiny never was going to be that, and Destiny 2 like doubles down on we're not going to be that. But I think it does make the single player treadmill and the single player experience for a lot of people that may have felt disappointed about that in original vanilla Destiny and never came back. I think there's a lot more for Destiny 2 to offer. It's a lot more structured in a way that it's enjoyable. Like the one quality of life improvement that I like the most so far is the way it handles public events, which is that once they're triggered, you have permanently on your screen a countdown until the actual event begins.
Yeah.
So you can acknowledge you're going to participate or kick it off, and you can mark it on your map. But I was doing other side quest stuff, you know, collecting chests and just participating in the world rather than just waiting there for 5 minutes.
Right.
And it's because the game, gives you an acknowledgement that, hey, here are some other things for, you've got this thing that's coming up in 5 minutes, go do some other shit for 5 minutes. Like, it's just, that makes your time efficiency in the game a lot more credible and interesting in a way that doesn't.
That feels like it's recognition of the fact that human beings play this game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh no, we fucking get it. You have other shit to do. You want to go check Twitter for 5 minutes? That's how long you have. Go check Twitter. Yep. Go run to the bathroom. You got time. Like, here's what you got. And I really appreciate that given, like, what this game is, you know? I actually have a question for you, though, Rob, which is you're the furthest into this. And I'm, based on stuff that I've seen through side quests or through main mission stuff, I have seen shades of it being more like a traditional Halo game here or there. There are, like, here's a vehicle segment that's not necessarily a good vehicle segment, but there's
real
a vehicle
long.
Segment. Wait, is there another really long vehicle segment coming up?
Oh, man. So basically, if that first vehicle you encounter is oddly tank-like, but you're like, hey, where's the gun on this thing?
That's literally because what I said.
there's an identical vehicle later on, but with a gun.
Okay.
And first you're like, cool, I'm in a tank. And then Destiny 2 is like, man, I'll bet people are going to love this fucking tank. I'll bet people can't get enough of this tank. The tank is our Poochie. So, like, that's
Rob,
kind of
Rob.
How that sequence goes.
Hot Simpsons reference from Rob Zachney. So what happens to Poochie?
Poochie hits a wall that can't, like, sort of a door it can't get through, and then you it's a very ironic and knowing reversal of the Poochie situation.
Gotcha.
You have to go, okay. Your planet needs you, and okay. Poochie is left behind.
Ah, poor Poochie. But like, where is it shaking out in general for you in terms of it being a big single player story campaign? As the lore master of Destiny.
Oh no. My thoughts are all over the map because, like, Destiny, I think to an extent it's really easy to be sort of unfair about what Destiny is because it feels like it could be so many other things if it just, like, kind of wanted to or took an interest, but, like, that's not what that, you know, that's kind of not what it is. That's not what it's trying to be. So I think in some ways they've done a much better job of creating a narrative campaign. There's a lot of those great, it is very Halo-like. There's a lot of great, like, awe-inspiring vistas that you encounter, and then all hell breaks loose. There's some great set pieces. Like, in this last act, there's sort of a moment where, you know, you return to, you know, it's a very mild spoiler. You return to the city, and there's a bunch of other Guardians in there. It's not like an open world area, but it's being populated by other Guardians. And so for, like, about 10 minutes, it feels like you're part of this amazing, like, onrushing wave of high-level Guardians just, like, ripping through the last city and, like, tearing apart the Cabal.
Right.
It's really cool. It's the kind of stuff that, like, Destiny 1 kind of hinted at but could really never deliver.
No, like, Destiny 1 was mostly a thing I did when I was listening to podcasts and, like, I gotta do something with my hands because there's a podcast on. I can't just sit here. I'm an adult in 2016. I know it's 2017 now. This has already happened in the past.
It's past Austin.
2016 Austin. It's also, he talked like this. I lost his accent in the last year. But and then the other thing was, like, I'm playing with my friends. Like, this is just, like, a thing I'm goofing off with, and I don't need spectacle outside of, like, raids, which were always really cool to see because they always had, like, little platforming sections or set pieces. And it has been nice to see that stuff folded into the main game. Like, we did last night, Abby, you and me did, and Danica did a mission together. It's important that I mentioned Danica because there's a lot of us watching Danica do platforming segment.
Oh, right.
That was fine. That was good. But it was cool that stuff's in the game. Like, yeah. I like jumping around in that game.
I kind of hate the platforming. Like,
I've always
hate
hated the platforming in Destiny.
Sucks.
I've, like, never liked the motion, and I'm like, but it goes back to...
You know what you should play as is a hunter.
It doesn't...
Hunter jumps just have, like, Castlevania-style double jumps, so all of those segments are super fun to, like, just hop around
in. I don't know. Like, I would rather just, like, hop around, like, on my own, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just be like, oh, I'm here in, like, the farm, let me just hop around.
I guess versus,
like, this is gonna be, you can't complete the mission unless you do the series of stupid fucking jumps.
Hunters have triple jump also, which helps because you can fuck up. And
let me play a specific class to, like, make this one shitty part of the game a lot better.
No, so what I actually like about it is that, like, the thing that Destiny has always been is, like, oh, show up and shoot these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that Destiny has always been is, like, look at this pretty skybox.
Yeah.
And this, like, tilts a little bit closer to look at this pretty skybox because it's just like, oh, what's a cool, like, vignette that we can show you where, like, this huge, like, interlocking, you know, sea facility is, like, falling apart, and, like, all the pipes hanging down and, like, the weird tether is, like, flying off into the side, and, like, I just want any sort of gameplay that lets me focus on that stuff a little bit between the rush of aliens that are blasting in the
face. Yeah, that is a good point. It was definitely pretty cool going through that section. Like, we were, like, I don't know. It was, like, very interesting how they designed it. Like, it looked very good.
Yeah, that's the Titan mission that we did on stream too, Patrick, where it's, like, that like, hard techno comes in and all the Thrall are, like, running towards you, which is a really fucking cool moment.
Can we actually, just a quick thing there?
Yeah.
One thing they do really well in this game is giving each zone, like, a different stylistic character.
Oh, yeah.
And the music is a huge part of that. Like, Titan feels so New Doom-like.
Yeah.
In some
I hadn't
ways,
about
like,
that.
Completely different soundtrack than what you're hearing in other parts of the game. And so, like, one thing I really do enjoy here is something Destiny really never successfully delivered on is the idea that it's supposed to be this like epic meeting and clash of like all these different sci-fi monsters and races, but they all felt a little bit interchangeable and there wasn't a lot of differentiation. Now, both in terms of the zones you're fighting in and then the way the different, even the animations, the different way the factions move, the Fallen seem to have gotten a lot more like hunter-like in some ways, a lot more
scuttling. They like run on all fours and shit? Yeah, totally. Yeah. Have you seen them do this yet?
What?
They like the Fallen, who are like the six-armed creatures, will sometimes like run at you in all fours. Like even like the captains, even the ones who like traditionally are like, oh, they walk on their uprights. Like they are upstanding members of Fallen society. Like, nah, I'm a bug. And like they'll like run at you and like stand up.
I haven't seen that yet.
And that stuff is really cool because it does bring a lot of character to what previously were like, oh, this is a palette swept elite from Halo. Like, and I'm happy to see more of that stuff. I do still wish, and I don't know, I haven't finished this game yet, but I wanted like a completely new class of enemy type, and maybe we get that still. I don't fucking know, but that's like the one thing that's on my list. Is like I like fighting the Thrall or the Hive. I like fighting the Fallen already. I like fighting the Vex, but like I fought them all for years now, and like it would be cool to have something new. We'll see. I don't know.
You know what else would be cool?
What's that?
Some kind of lore delivery device
uh-huh.
that can really flesh out the odd and strangely like lurid and fascinating backstory.
Yeah, but not a book. A book would be too convenient if it was like all in a book. What if I could have them in something that you know, was interchangeable, something I could carry around in my pocket, like playing cards. What if I had like lore cards, Rob?
Interesting. Like it's sort of like an arcane scrapbook of knowledge.
Almost like a grimoire. Like
yes.
With each spell, each card being a spell that would weave a tapestry of deep lore of weird alien kings. And
Boo!
You can hit the L2 button on Exotics now and read a little bit. That's the thing
but,
you can do.
But there's not enough of it. And that, like, and look, I guess I know I'm alone on this.
You're not. I'm on the phone with you. We both love lore.
Okay, we're alone on this.
Yes, thank you. We are alone together.
I have not hit L2 at all. I do not care about lore.
L2 stands for more lore.
Just give me some cool guns so I can shoot some dudes.
The guns are cool. The subclass stuff actually has a little bit of like lore card shit in it. Have you? Yeah, I mean, obviously you've unlocked some subclasses by now, Rob. Obviously.
Yeah.
And when you go through that mission, there's like these like holograms that you see, and they drop what would have traditionally been the sorts of stories that you would find on the old lore cards. If you downloaded
the Destiny
app.
Everybody's gone to the Rapture.
Oh, it is very. It is.
You're sort of walking through like a hall of memories for your faction, and you're seeing these like luminous and like statues of familiar characters talking to each other and like shedding a little light on their own backstories or you know again the lore of Destiny.
And then you shoot a bunch of people for like five minutes.
Which is what everybody got into the Rapture. That's what that was missing, actually.
That's the
like,
one thing that missed, well, yeah, was a turret sequence at the end. Fuck off, ghosts. The one thing I will say right now that is like, so like, checkmark, boom, story mode seems really cool. Like, nice set pieces. Boom, like, the design, the graphics are incredible. The beautiful visuals, like, boom. It seems like there's a lot to do this time, which is nice. I don't have to repeat the same stuff. I unlock strikes. I'm excited to see what those are like now. But there's like the stuff around it in Destiny 1 was really cool. And I think some of that's still here. I think the farm is a really nice social space. The same with like goofing around in the tower or those other social spaces, like hitting the ball or like jumping on the thing that makes you jump high.
I do feel like we go there less though because you like I found that I will pick up loot and then immediately start equipping it.
Yeah.
Versus before it was like, okay, we're going to go to the tower and then that's when we're going to deal with all our shit. But now it's like, it's much different.
I don't drop, we don't get as many Ingrams, at least in the first half of this game or whatever. Yeah, I'm just like, oh yeah, here's a thing.
Yeah.
But I do miss like fucking around in the social space.
Yeah.
And then I think all of the rest of the stuff around Destiny that was really successful at making it feel like a community is like a little tainted this time because Activision seems to have figured out that they can make lots of money that way. And also like the marketing around it has been like shitty. I got an email. I have two different sports Destiny emails already. I got two different ones. The first one is about Aaron Judge, who is a baseball player. Is that right? Am I wrong about that?
Sure.
Aaron somebody.
Aaron, write in if we've mischaracterized you.
To be like, oh hey, he's got some fucking Destiny batting gloves on today. Like that's not going to... And then we got another thing in about a football...
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown doing the quote, dance hall dance from Destiny as his first, like, scoring touchdown dance.
Oh, what makes it worse is that we got an email telling us about this Antonio Brown, who's a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, saying, like, hey, like, here's this thing, which is fine. I get all sorts of bullshit all day.
That's their job. PR people, it's their job.
It is their job to send you sludge, and it is your job to not do that sludge. Like, you know, when you get, like, big boxes of, like, collector's edition, like, maybe don't film an unboxing video and put that up if you didn't pay for it yourself. Just maybe don't do that. But the worst thing about this Antonio Brown bit was that in a separate email thread something else related to Destiny, when the thread had concluded, the PR person then responded and said, hey, have you seen this Antonio Brown thing? I said, yes, I've seen the fucking Antonio Brown thing. I already passed on your sludge.
Well, it's also, just hang on, that email thread, though, where they were like, hey, have you seen this Antonio Brown thing, was when they were well-actualing a story about the bullshit
shaders that Janine
had written. And they were like, hey, you know, maybe Janine just didn't understand. It's like, no, we get it. Believe me. Like, we understand how this, like, piece of shit works. And then they're like, cool, cool, cool. So have you seen this Antonio Brown clip?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, the shaders thing, I want to get into that. First, the dance hall thing. The thing that's fucked up to me about that is that, like, dance hall existed before Destiny 2, and so the notion of, like, oh, he's doing the dance hall dance from Destiny 2, it upsets me deeply. Someone I talked to last week thought that Griffin McElroy invented dabbing, so I'm in a place where white people, and not that Antonio Brown is white, but, like, the Destiny 2 marketing team,
I just like to say Austin's glasses are fogging a little bit. He's so steamed about
this.
I'm
very steamed.
Oh, are they doing that cool anime thing where, like, the glasses become opaque and they sort of flash to, like,
yeah, that's exactly
motion?
What it is.
Hell
his,
yeah.
His nose also started bleeding.
Oh, that means something else.
Okay, I don't understand
that
anime.
Horny.
Okay, I don't know. Your nose is bleeding, so if the shoe fits.
So the shaders thing... The shaders thing is also one of these examples of them not... it's not that they don't understand how people play the game.
They deeply understand how people play the game.
Yeah, they deeply do. The one thing that I'll say is that their model doesn't support the way in which I knew people who use shaders using shaders anymore.
Can we explain what this is for
people?
So
a shader... So the thing that's frustrating is they're called shaders, even though inside of the world of video games, shader already means a different thing. But they're like color tints. You can tint your armor to be like, oh, cool. Like, it all matches, even though it's like from three different things. Now it's all like, you know, black and gold, and I look like a fucking badass space, you know, knight or whatever. And in Destiny 1, you would find these in the world very rarely, or you could buy them from, like, a random box, basically, using real money. And most of them were, you unlocked it and you had it forever. And you could, like, change your armor out and, like, okay, well, now I'm going to do this. Or what I would do often is just, like, how am I feeling today? I don't know. I'm feeling, like white and navy blue and a little orange. Like, oh, you know what? Today I'm thinking like this, like pink and teal. Like, oh, cool. That's my look.
And it was
today.
A whole outfit.
Yeah.
Like, it all was of a piece.
Right.
Yeah. And
everything
felt like
went through.
I still had that outfit when I got a new piece of armor
totally.
Most of the time. Like, I would get new arms and they wouldn't be that different. So having the shader, I still felt like, okay, I still have my look that I kind of am maintaining.
Totally.
Well, and it was
this
cool.
Is who my character is.
And it was cool as you changed out, like, pieces of equipment, how the shader would change, because, like, it's all paint by numbers. So different, like, components of each armor, like, will, like, adopt the coloration in different ways.
Right. Like,
and
oh,
that
these,
was another
these
really
arms,
nifty thing.
Yeah.
Right, totally. These arms are, the whole thing is, you know, the main color one, except for the elbows. And the other side's like, oh, the elbows are the only thing that are blah, blah, blah. So now those shaders are consumable. When you get them, they drop in a pack that has three uses. But you apply them per piece of gear. So it's not like, oh, my whole outfit gets it.
And you have to pay Glimmer to apply them.
Yep, which is like a weird faucet for in-game currency.
Right.
For not real currency, but in-game currency. And then they're gone. And so if you change equipment, your new equipment doesn't get that. You can't transfer that shader over. You can't, you also, like, once you, you don't even have enough from a single shader to color your whole outfit.
Right.
You would need to get a second drop of the same shader type.
Here's what I find extra objectionable. They're consumable, but it's not like you apply a shader and then it's bound to an item. Every time you change your mind, like, I put a shader on my pants, and then I was like, let's see how this other one looks. And I put a different shader on. And then I was like, I prefer the first one. I go back to the first one. It's, I had spent, like, to reapply it, I had burned through another version of it.
I will say, I do think there is a preview button for it.
There is, but it's different.
Even still,
I
want
to see it when I'm sitting next to my owl friend on the farm, Abby.
Right.
That's where I'm trying to get a good look to, like,
poke
with my owl.
His nose is bleeding again.
It's a falcon. It's a falcon.
No, there's an owl in the farm.
Yeah, we found an owl.
Yeah,
is it in the barn?
Yeah, it's inside. Yes. It's like on a pipe.
It's a fucking
fantastic
owl. Of course. And it's so all that's frustrating. I've had people say, well, how is that a problem in terms of like the economics, in terms of it being like a cash grab? So you can buy the same sorts of engrams that provide shaders from like the Eververse, which is their like paid DLC shop. And the important distinction, like this is so important to understand how this is distinct from Overwatch, from Guild Wars 2, from other games that have had shaders or aesthetic purchasable options. Like this is what it comes down to. In those games, in Overwatch, there's a point at which you can reach a state where you're like, I'm done buying boxes. I have the Pharah skin I want. I have the cool emote I want. I'm happy just getting the ones I get from leveling up going forward. Because there is a sink here that removes stuff from the game. Sinks and faucets are like a game design term. A faucet introduces something new into the game. A sink pulls it out, right? A drain pulls it out. And so because you're losing it, you will never reach that state where you're like, I'm good. I have everything I want. Unless you just dye all of your stuff the one color you want it to be. If you're the sort of player who's like, I just want to apply this one tint to what to this armor, and I'm never changing the armor.
Which doesn't make sense for Destiny. You change it all the time.
Even in the end game. Like,
yes.
Because you're like, okay, I need to actually change my gear to match.
It's so, like multiple times in a play session you change
totally,
it.
Totally. And so not only does it not support the old system that is like, I want to look like this today and like that tomorrow, or this armor actually just looks better with blah, blah, blah. I want to see different stuff. But it literally means that there was always the period of time for which you were willing to, or a person who wants to put money into a game is willing to put money into a game before they cap out and get everything they want is way longer. And that to me makes it a little bit more exploitative and is to me like very frustrating for what had previously been such a cool system that seemed to understand that despite being a game about shooting people in skyboxes, it was also a game about expression. It was also a game about having pride in the character that you designed and that was like, this is me. This is me, and I'm the one with the red armor. And like, now you're the one with the red armor and also like $20 of DLC that you had to put in to maybe get another red armor drop or like
in the 20 more hours of whatever.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And that's, I think, what like the double down that Luke Smith, who I guess disclosure I've known and worked with in the past, who's the creative director on Destiny 2, his explanation on Twitter like rang really hollow. Like it was meant to sort of like, you know, there was a series of four tweets that was like, here's why we did what we did, here's why we think it fits into the larger systems and player habits of Destiny. And I think the one that really grated on people was the explanation that you're going to get a lot of drops, so like you're not going to be want for drops, which is, that's like, that's not how drops work. Like, maybe you're the person that doesn't get that, and that sucks. And then also was that specific shaders are going to be attached to specific places. And so the idea was, like, I'm going to be excited to do this strike because I get these shaders from this strike, which is shitty. Like, that's a bad association to make. Like, no one in their right mind is going to say,
I gotta grind this strike, I guess.
Right! Like, I'm psyched to grind this strike to get this color drop?
But
like, that's...
Once it's rad, like, that's good first thought, which is, oh, man, I got the shader from here, and now it's mine forever. That would feel dope. Like, if we did some cool strike where we went deep into the underbelly of Titan's weird arcology, and we came out with, like, a cool shader that looked like the ocean there that has, like, that blue...
Yes.
Glow, and you got to keep it forever, then you'd be like, oh yeah, I earned this.
Right, especially because I feel like there's so few items in Destiny that are that permanent.
Yes,
you know,
that's
even
exactly
guns
right.
and stuff, like, I have very few guns that I keep for very long.
Right.
There are some that I will, like, continue to infuse, but even those, it's unlikely.
It's actually a really interesting thing to think about what is permanent in Destiny. And it's, like, emblems, emotes, ships.
Right.
It's the stuff that has always been this aesthetic layer on top of all of the mechanical stuff that you switch in and out whenever you need to. And so to make this aesthetic thing not permanent in that way, or you know, it's permanent if you never change it again, but that's just not how people use that system. It feels like a huge misunderstanding of what happens there, but also an understanding that people like doing it and a way for them to get paid. And it's very frustrating. Like, you know, Luke Smith probably didn't fucking make that decision to do all of this. That probably didn't come down to Luke Smith. But, like, it's hard for me to forget how Luke Smith rallied against fucking horse armor a decade ago as being an exploitative shitty thing that preyed on people who wanted to get aesthetic things. Like, this is the same dude. And so I get that it's, you know, it's his job to get out there and defend that position, but, like, this is me, like, holding his feet to the fire a little bit and holding that team's feet to the fire a little bit. This isn't something that they can't change or they can't find a better solution for. And also, like, the world is on fire right now, so I feel shitty getting, like, heated up over some fucking shaders.
No, but it's, like, it's not a free-to-play game, right? Like,
they're $60.
Like, they're charging a lot of money for the game and a season pass, and then on top of that are exploiting one of the longer-term reasons that people play and mess around with this game in a way that I think that's the thing that rubs people. Is like, really? Like, I've already given you a ton of money, and you're going to fuck with me on this without, like, a discernible benefit that helps me as the player? I think that's the sort of ire that the best solution they can do is to just shut this down and turn it back to the old system. My guess is Activision Blizzard likes to make money. They look to things like Overwatch and games that have long-term monetization systems. There is a way to do long-term monetization in Destiny that people maybe don't feel great about but doesn't feel exploitative. And that's the line you have to follow, is finding a way that you may be upset that, like, the system exists, but if you don't feel exploited as a player, then that's just a business reality. And
they even got close before, which is in Destiny 1, they had the chroma shaders, which were consumable, but those did not replace traditional shaders. Regular. And so if they wanted to do this thing that was like a consumable thing that you could buy and that you could get through the real money marketplace, they should have added a new thing. Maybe make, like, the emotes that are, like, you draw shit in neon are really cool and you can only get those through that.
Right.
I'm fine with that. But, like, it's that pivot away from a system that worked already and that people were familiar with that really feels, like, not like a betrayal, but just like a fucking big misstep.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, just, quickly, we have to go soon, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, and just, like, it does feel weird and petty to be complaining about this stuff when there's such important, when there's such important events in the world, so many tragedies in the world, but, like, at the same time, sometimes, like, it's the little injustices that, like, they're so needless, right? There's this line in a book by Richard Russo called Straight Man, and it's basically, he says, like, you know, when hard things can't get done, you know, that's too bad, but when easy things can't get done and there's no good reason, it's more than too bad. It just makes everything seem deep down mean and petty.
Right.
And that's kind of, like, it's the small injustices, I think, tend to nag in a certain way, because those are just these needless ways that things kind of screw with your experience, right? They just kind of, like, mess with your day, mess with your enjoyment for no important reason at all, just because they can.
Yeah. All right. On that note, about not having any enjoyment in our lives, briefly, shout outs to people who've been affected by any of, like, the big bad shit happening in the world right now. Obviously, I'm an
or American, is coming.
Or that's what I'm. Yeah. So Irma is on its way. If you're affected by Harvey, if you're affected by the rescinding of DACA, like, there's a lot out there right now that fucking sucks, and that's all just American shit. So keep your heads up. Like, I hope you get some enjoyment out of us moaning about fucking Destiny. I hope we can offer a little bit of that. We'll be back on Monday with more moaning, probably a little bit more Destiny, some other stuff too. I wanted to shit talk the South Park thing, but we didn't have time.
I know.
It's bad. It's bad. I'll get into it on Monday for why that South Park thing is bad.
Go read Evan Narcisse's tweets about it. That he is on point with how you should feel about a joke that may have made you laugh at first, but then you should realize that they don't have the credibility to pull it off.
Nope.
And don't make jokes exploiting people of color.
I'm Austin Walking. Find me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Patrick, where can people find you?
I'm at Patrick Lovick. Also, the Life is Strange prequel was pretty good, like, better than it should have been. We'll talk about it next week.
Rob Zachney, where can people find you?
I'm in the last city, unless I haven't been logged out.
Okay, great. Abby Russell.
Yes. Where can they find me? On Twitter at YBBAAABBY. Super simple, real easy. Follow me back.
It's Abby backwards and then forward.
Yeah, with an A in the middle.
One A.
Y, two B's, three A's, two B's, one Y.
Three A's. Wait, is it three A's?
It's three A's.
I didn't know.
Oh, Bahama Mama.
I know.
Oh, you can find everything we do here at Waypoint at waypoint.vice.com, at twitter.com/waypoint, facebook.com/waypointvice, youtube.com/waypointvice. Patrick and I also did a stream of the first few hours of Destiny. You can find that over at twitch.tv/waypoint. Shout outs also to our for now, podcast producer, Rob Schulte. Schulte? Did it right that time.
Nailed it.
Where can people find you on the internet, Rob?
Rob K. Schulte. That's it.
Rob K. Schulte on Twitter.
I should also say you can find me at Giant Bomb. I'm not sure if it says that. Giantbomb.com. It's a very good journalism website. Everyone should check it out.
Oh, it's a journalism website. Okay.
We report on games news.
Patrick, that's a deep, real laugh. All right, check that out, too. Until then, Danielle isn't here. So Rob, do you want to say Danielle's farewell sign line?
Sure. Peace.
That's mine. It's not hers.
Grimoire cards.
Okay. Be good and be good at it. Peace.